sing me a song. Let's keep the music groovy. We're going strong. On
following you wherever you are on this first Sunday in October. Brad Crandall here. Coming up shortly, Joe Garagiola with guest columnist Jimmy Cannon and Senator Eugene McCarthy at the World Series, where the talk turns to an amusing combination of baseball and politics. From the new Christy Minstrels, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Next, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola. Brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company. In 1 minute, Joe talks baseball, politics, and sports writing with both columnist Jimmy Cannon and Senator Eugene McCarthy. First, this from State Farm.
Hello, I'm Pat Paulson. One night I was sitting in my den trying to relax with a good book in front of a roaring fire. I found it difficult to relax because I don't have a fireplace. Considering this situation carefully, I decided to call the fire department. And I also called my State Farm agent. I called him because I have a low-cost homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's biggest homeowner's insurer. A policy that protects my home and belongings, that covers them in case of fire, storm, theft, that protects me in the event of, perish forbid, a liability lawsuit. Soon I had a check from State Farm to cover damages. I still don't have a fireplace, but I read a lot in front of the furnace.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health, State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Now, here's Joe Garagiola.
It's a standing joke at a World Series that the reporters spend a great deal of time interviewing each other. And that was certainly true on Thursday in St. Louis when one of the correspondents turned out to be Senator Eugene McCarthy. Now, I joined in that interview and asked Senator McCarthy what kind of baseball background he had, particularly what kind of a hitter he was.
Oh, I was a pretty fair hitter.
What's a pretty fair hitter? I hit 250, and I thought that was great.
It was for you.
What was your average?
Well, I used to hit around 300 in college. Yeah, 350 in the kind of minor league I played in.
They said I couldn't handle a breaking ball. Could you hit the breaking ball?
Depended on where it was.
hanging curveball you could hit.
Yeah. That's right. I like that one. I wasn't so bad on the outside one. I could kind of get that, but it was that one that was in tight that hurt me.
Did you ever have any ideas about being a professional ball player?
Oh, everybody did, depression.
How could you go from baseball to politics?
It's not hard.
Is it pretty much the same?
It's as the dean of my school said about a coach. He said, it's a good man. He said, just smart enough to understand the game and not smart enough to lose interest.
What kind of a scouting report can you give us on the other candidates as far as their athletic ability? Vice President Humphrey, could he play?
Don't quote me on this, but I don't know about him. But probably said that Humphrey back in South Dakota, they wouldn't let him play unless he let him use his book bag for second base.
Among the men interviewing Senator McCarthy was syndicated columnist Jimmy Cannon. I asked Jimmy Cannon to repeat something he had just asked the senator regarding Spiro Agnew.
As I asked him what type of athlete Agnew resembled, and I think he resembles the ticket manager.
No comment, Senator, huh?
No, I don't believe. I don't really know much about ticket managers.
What's it like as a writer here? Can you tell us at all about that?
Oh, I haven't really been working at it. It seems like a pleasant life you fellows lead.
The writers say that we lead a very pleasant life.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I think it's easier than writing. It's easier just to talk and let it run.
Easier? It's
tougher when you put it down, yeah.
They can hold you to it.
That's
six
right.
months later, huh?
That's right.
You don't find that, do you, Jimmy?
No, I think on television you are allowed an aggressive illiteracy, which you can't do when you write.
That's right. Well, that's where they come back to. I kept saying yesterday that I thought the better team should win, and the people were mad at me. They said they wanted the best team to win.
Three reporters at the World Series, Senator Eugene McCarthy, columnist Jimmy Cannon, and me. I'm Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Just in case you missed it, the Cardinals beat the Tigers today 10-1 and are now 3-1 in the World Series. They could wrap it up tomorrow in Detroit. Be sure to be tuned to NBC Radio and TV for exclusive World Series coverage. You always get an inside look at sports with a real pro, Joe Garagiola, every weekend on the Monitor Beacon.
The following pre-recorded political announcement was paid for by the Nixon Agnew Volunteers, Washington. If you really want to help end the war in Vietnam, if you really want to bring back order and justice in the United States, if you really want to restore respect for your country around the world, you are invited to participate in Richard Nixon's campaign for the presidency. He needs your help. So please, volunteer your services. Write Richard Nixon, Washington, 20004. Be a part of this exciting political adventure and help give America new leadership. We need Richard Nixon, and right now, he needs you. Together, we can change the direction of our country. Please help by volunteering to work in this important campaign. Write Richard Nixon, Washington, 20004. The preceding pre-recorded political announcement was paid for by the Nixon Agnew Volunteers, Washington.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
At 16 minutes after the Monitor Hour, here's a new one from Engelbert Humperdinck. Three Little Words.
When love is far away, every day seems long. Come to me.
ring around the world, a close-up of people and events both at home and abroad. Limited optimism in Vietnam. That story now from NBC correspondent Robert Goralski in Saigon.
At the big base camp of the U.S. 25th Infantry Division this week, demolition experts were busy going through recently captured arms and ammunition. It was a big hall uncovered during a sweep near the town of Cu Chi. The Americans were inspecting the Bangalore torpedoes, rockets, and mortars to see if they could detect anything new about them before putting them to the torch. These many tons of Chinese communist manufactured weapons are but a part of what's been found recently. Altogether, in all of South Vietnam during the past month or so, more than 150 tons of arms, ammunition, and rice have been located. This is one of the reasons American military men here are becoming more optimistic. The arms and food caches are needed by the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese if they're to launch their long-delayed third offensive. Without them, shortages are bound to develop. Morale will suffer, too, and morale is a problem facing the communists now. They're 2 to 3 times the average number of defectors. These turncoats tell of being hungry and of being pounded incessantly by American warplanes and ground artillery. They say the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese soldier fears what will happen next. He's being caught off guard more and more. American nighttime ambushes were virtually unheard of out here a year ago. Now each night, small patrols, 6 or 7 men, scout the jungles and the high grass, frequently catching surprise communist forces. But perhaps the most encouraging indicator of what's been happening in Vietnam is the South Vietnamese army and militia forces. They are improving. There are now more than 1 million South Vietnamese under arms. The national mobilization program wasn't to have been completed until year's end. It's reached its objectives already in terms of men in uniform. Leadership has improved, too. The young lieutenants and captains of the South Vietnamese Army are being aggressive. There is room for limited optimism. Robert Kowalski, NBC News, Saigon.
Ring Around the World, another in our weekend series of close-ups of people and events both at home and abroad. Now, this word from Chesterfield.
Pleasure is his.
Pleasure is hers. Pleasure is his. Always was a Chesterfield. They satisfy, they satisfy. And that is why.
Chesterfield, filter and menthol.
Pleasure is a Chesterfield.
Taste them. They satisfy. Monitor Music by Margaret Whiting. This is one of her most recent numbers.
Every day is another day in which I pass the time away and just live a lie. Sure, I smile and say it well and watch the world in which I dwell just pass me by. I think of you, lie awake the whole night through, read the dawn and see the star of another day that I'm not part of, oh, because you're in the heart of me.
Can't get you.
An Olympic preview now. If someone in your family is a member of the United States Olympic team, there's a good chance you may be hearing from him or her sooner than you expected. A company that manufactures tape recorders has set up several machines in the Olympic Village. And each day, between 300 and 400 athletes are recording messages that are being mailed home. Amazingly enough, the Olympic athletes who are in the greatest danger of getting dry, chapped lips are the swimmers. The combination of harsh chemicals in the water, sun glare, and water itself is murder on lips. One good reason why Chapstick Lip Balm was selected for use by the U.S. Olympic team. Chapstick protects lips from the effects of sun, wind, and even harsh chemicals, and it soothes and helps heal lips that are already chapped, too. Pick up a tube of Chapstick wherever you shop, and don't take your lips anywhere without it. Jankowski's orchestra and a song called Our Beach Affair. You're with Monitor, and this is Brad Crandall.
The following is a political program sponsored by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee. Richard Nixon is participating in a series of spontaneous and unrehearsed question and answer programs all around the country. The following is an excerpt from a recent meeting Mr. Nixon had with a group of Ohio citizens.
Mr. Nixon, why do you feel that we should continuously give foreign aid to other countries when here in our own country we have senior citizens and older people who are living on Social Security and pensions that are far below what they should be?
Let me make one thing very clear. I feel very strongly that the position stated in the Republican platform, which provides that as far as Social Security benefits are concerned, they will increase as the cost of living goes up. I think that provision should be adopted, and it will be one of the major planks of my program, because you couldn't be more correct about those living on Social Security and pensions. They have seen the cost of everything that they're buying go up by 10% in the last 4 years, and they have fallen behind because they have not had an equivalent increase in their own income. Now, the relationship of foreign aid to that basically is this. As we look at foreign aid, its primary purpose is not simply to aid other countries, but to aid the United States of America. And in my view, only when an aid program serves the interests of the United States can it be approved. I believe, for example, that if an aid program, as has been the case in some of ours in the past, if it provides a chance for aid to be given to a country, directly or indirectly, which is aiding an enemy of the United States, that just doesn't make any sense at all. I think we have foreign aid all over the world today that we're spread far too thin in too many countries and too many projects.
Yes, sir. Mr. Nixon, it's been said that America is growing into two societies, one black and one white. Now, if you're elected president, you are supposed to be the president of all the people. Now, how are you going to combat this situation? How are you going to work it out so that Americans are Americans and not black and white?
Well, Mr. Kelker, first of all, I'm going to combat it by the way I campaign in this campaign. Now, I've taken my campaign to all sections of the country. I don't write off the South, and I don't write off the Northeast. And as I go through the South, and I go through the other sections of the country, and you can check with some of the newsmen or anybody that's been traveling with me, you will find that I make exactly the same major points in the South that I make in the North. I believe that it's vitally essential that whoever is the next president of the United States be able to unite this country. And I believe I'm elected to this office that the new programs that I have, programs that will continue, of course, those of the past administration, like Head Start, which I think have been good ones, bringing our Negro children and other disadvantaged children up to that equal chance at the starting line right at the beginning of their lives, but new programs that will provide opportunities for black Americans not just to be workers, but to be owners, to be managers, to have a piece of the action of private enterprise. That's the way we're going to build the bridge between the black community and the white community. I say, finally, that the way we're not going to build that bridge is to simply to continue to pour billions of dollars of money into federal programs for federal housing and federal welfare, which in effect has the black American off here treated separately as a colony within a nation. I think we want the black American to have the same chance as a white American for a piece of the action, and that's the program that I think is going to bring us together.
You've been listening to Richard Nixon in an excerpt from a recent question and answer program. If you believe Richard Nixon should be our next president, please help by contributing to his campaign. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. We need your help. We need it now. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. This time, give like your whole world depended on it. The preceding pre-recorded political program was sponsored by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee.
Hi, this is Joe Garagiola. Join me for the pregame warm-up and stay with NBC for all the play-by-play of the 1968 World Series.
The roar of the crowd, the crack of the bat, and the umpire's shout, play ball. And there you are at the World Series on WNBC Radio 66. But where are you if you haven't joined us for the pregame warm-up? You're programmed to what's happening in the ballpark. This is Frank Musser inviting you to join me for warm-up time and wrap-up time before and after every World Series game right here on WNBC.
Help an American Indian child stay in school. Provide school supplies for a needy youngster in Appalachia. Underwrite a self-help project for a refugee family in Vietnam. For full information on how you can help people in need, please write Save the Children Federation, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017.
The People's Choice, Charlie Brown. Weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. on WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
This is Jim Iyer, WNBC News. It's 7:30, 58 degrees in New York, and cloudy. A special Board of Education committee and teachers' union representatives met today in another attempt to avert a possible teacher strike. Teachers' union president Albert Shanker and Ocean Hill governing board administrator Rhody McCoy were on hand for the meeting in the board offices in Brooklyn. After the meeting, Shanker declared that neither the board or its special committee have kept their word. The union leader warned that another strike is conditional on the Board of Education. He said if they break their word again, there will be a strike. Shanker said the only one who kept his word was Rhody McCoy by promising not to allow 83 disputed teachers to return to the classroom. Mayor Lindsay met today with mediators for police, firemen, and sanitation workers in their contract disputes with the city. After the meeting at Gracie Mansion, the mayor said that some progress had been made, but gave no details. A Brooklyn man armed with an axe locked himself and his six children in their home today, but was seized shortly afterward by policemen who broke the door open and subdued him. Police said 41-year-old Sultan Delaney of 259 54th Street was taken to Lutheran Medical Center for observation. No injuries were reported. Newark police say that the patrolman who arrested black militant Leroy Jones and two companions on Friday has been plagued by threatening phone calls. Newark police officials say some of the callers threatened to kill the arresting officer, Patrolman Frank Hunt. Jones was arrested after a name-shouting match with the officer in a downtown Newark bank. Former Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell said today that until he named Curtis LeMay as his running mate, George Wallace had an excellent chance of throwing the election to the House of Representatives. But Powell says with LeMay, Wallace will lose loads of avid supporters. The forecast, cloudy tonight and tomorrow with a chance of showers tonight and tomorrow afternoon. A high both days in the 60s. The present temperature is 58 and it's cloudy. This is Jim Iyer, WNBC News. Now back to Monitor.
Monitor music by Yvette Redno, which is Stevie Wonder's spell backward. Honest it is. The song, of course, Alfie.
Don't move, just leave your dime out of here, monitor. Lean back and stay a while now.
Well, the weekend listening is lively and informative. I'm Brad Crandall. Directly ahead, Bob Considine looks at the David and Goliath potential involved as the battleship New Jersey joins the Vietnam fleet. Some guy out here with a ukulele again says his name is Tiny Tim.
May the good fairies sprinkle stardust on your bippy.
That's what he said. Next, On the Line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Once upon a time, not so long ago, the very presence of a battleship in enemy waters was enough to give that enemy pause, even to give up. But times change. Mighty symbols dissolve in importance. Senator Dick Russell of Georgia, who plugged for the demothballing of the USS New Jersey, now fears that it might be sunk by what he calls a $400 missile. I'll be back with some more on that after this. What does it mean to someone 65 or over to have health insurance that pays? Here's the answer from Mutual of Omaha.
Retired businessmen. Widows, 65 and over. School teachers who have put aside their books can all depend on Mutual of Omaha Extra Security to help fill the financial gaps that Medicare can't cover. When you're hospitalized, Mutual of Omaha's Extra Security can pay you $100 a week to start, $200 a week when Medicare coverage is reduced, and $300 a week when Medicare benefits are cut back even more. Mutual of Omaha's Extra Security can also help pay for those extra services you may want that Medicare doesn't cover. So if you're over 65, or have loved ones 65 or over, See your local Mutual of Omaha man for extra security. Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
What's to prevent the Russians from giving their Styx, S-T-Y-X, missile to the North Vietnamese to shoot at the battleship New Jersey? They gave that cheap but effective weapon to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians promptly sank the Israeli destroyer Eilat. They've also passed the Styx missiles around to other friends, including Fidel Castro. What's to prevent such a happening? Well, apparently the New Jersey is loaded to the gills with the last word in electronic whammies. There's a more technical term for this gear than whammy. The New Jersey must be accounted, from the enemy's viewpoint, as one of the most enticing targets of this war. In order for its great 16-inch guns to obtain their necessary accuracy, the skipper of that battle wagon must take it in relatively close to shore. By contrast, our aircraft carriers can poke around 100, sometimes 200 miles offshore, and their planes will be just as effective when committed. They have never been molested. The Styx that sank the Eilat was apparently launched from a Russian-built torpedo boat, but this would hardly be needed in an attack against the New Jersey. It could be launched from the beach, so to speak. One of them, of course, would not pack enough of a wallop to sink the New Jersey, but if it got through, it would do damage and produce casualties. It's not a pleasant prospect, but neither was the Russian-built SAM, a ground-to-air missile as tall as a telephone pole and with a speed of nearly 2,000 miles an hour. The North Vietnamese, probably with the assistance of Russian technicians, have launched literally hundreds of these highly sophisticated and presumably costly weapons. But when I last checked up on the score, they were missing our planes 69 times out of 70. Our flyers worked out a way to elude them. They let the monster approach them until it is hair-raisingly close, and then they go into a steep dive. The thing cannot turn that fast, so it flies harmlessly overhead. The battleship New Jersey is not that agile, let's say. It is something from another book, a long-ago book, in the long history of war. Let's hope its whammy works wonderfully. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Now this final word from Mutual of Omaha. What does it mean to have health insurance that pays? Well, here's what Lester Griffin of Jackson, Mississippi told us.
20 years ago, an automobile accident disabled me and completely wiped out my business. Without Mutual of Omaha's lifetime benefits, there wouldn't have been a way in the world to keep my family together.
Learn how it can pay you to have health insurance that pays. Call your local Mutual of Omaha man. There's only one Mutual of Omaha. The company that pays.
On the Line with Bob Considine is brought to you each weekend by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Make a quick getaway with me, Jack Hayes, weekdays from 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 66 New York. You'll enjoy the bright sounds, the fun, and the excitement. And we'll have you back in time for lunch, too. Jack Hayes, 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 66.
Are you in a fighting mood? Well, here's a cause that concerns you and every member of your family and community. Air pollution. Oh, once only a threat. Today, air pollution is a reality in every town and community across the country. This invasion of our once clean air can be reversed, but action must be taken immediately. Join the Clean Air Campaign in your community. Contact your Tuberculosis and Respiratory Disease Association. It's a matter of life and death.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
At 16 minutes before the Monitor Hour, here's Gary Puckett of the Union Gap.
Why am I losing sleep over you? Reliving precious moments we knew. Thank you.
part of you left behind.
In the news this week, one of the most unusual cases was the chicken soup caper. It all happened in the Bronx section of New York. Teenage burglars broke into the apartment of an 82-year-old woman who was cooking a huge pot of chicken soup at the time. She promptly hurled the hot chicken soup at them, and although they escaped, police later smelled chicken soup while cruising the neighborhood looking for suspects. The telltale chicken soup odor, plus a few soup stains on the clothing, did the culprits in. They were arrested and held in heavy bail. And it was rumored that they refused to eat, at least during their first meal, because, well, on the menu for their first meal in jail was, that's right, chicken soup. Have you heard now? Now is the new 5-minute program on NBC Radio every weekday afternoon. It keeps abreast of everything new, everyone interesting. The sounds and stories of today, this week, now. Your host, Roscoe, whose guests on tomorrow's Now program are members of the Fifth Dimension, the famous singing group which made the song Up, Up and Away a smash hit. Other guests during the week include New York Jets quarterback Joe Namath, columnist Rex Reed, and bandleader Peter Duchin. Get the Now habit now. Hear Now every weekday afternoon on NBC Radio.
I sit and wonder as I watch you pass by. How could I get you to give me a try? You know a boy like you is not so easy to find. I'd like to make you all mine. Would you like to take a walk in the park? Strolling in hand till it begins to get dark. Then later in the evening when the sun has gone down, maybe you'll still be the one.
Sentiment, our thanks to Miss Claudine Langer. Monitor on the move, pausing 6 seconds right now to switch to Los Angeles for our regular auto racing feature, World of Wheels, with Keith Jackson.
Hello, everybody. Keith Jackson in Los Angeles with Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's Charge, and the thousands of dealers who feature the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. Well, Jackie Stewart of Scotland has won the 10th U.S. Grand Prix, run today at Watkins Glen, New York. A remarkable record crowd of 93,000 turned out to watch the dashing Scotsman set a new record for the 248-mile road race, 124.89 miles an hour driving a Matra Ford, which is of French origin. Here is Noel Scully from the Glen with details.
Stewart went into the lead on the first lap of this 248-mile race and was never headed. Mario Andretti was the only driver to threaten Stewart in the early stages, but he was eliminated with a blown clutch on lap 31 when he was running in seventh place following an earlier pit stop. Before the race, Stewart told me, "I intend to drive as hard as I can," and that's exactly what he did. He becomes the first driver this year to win three Grand Prix and moves into second place in the World Championship race behind Graham Hill of London, who finished second today in his Lotus Ford. Hill was over half a minute behind Stewart at the close, but he scored 6 points to bring his championship total up to 39 with one race to go. Reigning champion Dennis Holm of New Zealand ran into mechanical troubles early on in the race and was finally sidelined two laps from the end when the suspension of his McLaren collapsed. From being equal first with Hill, he now drops to third in the championship battle.
The points would read this way then. Graham Hill, 39, Stewart with 36 points, and Denny Holm with 33. So it's on to Mexico for the deciding event November 3rd. John Surtees was third today, Dan Gurney 4, Joe Siffert 5, and Bruce McLaren 6. Noel, can you put your finger on why Jackie Stewart was so fast today?
I think it's the nature of the man. I think he is now emerging as perhaps the fastest man in Grand Prix driving since Jimmy Clark. I don't suppose there's really any doubt about that now. I would guess now that Stewart's going to be odds-on favorite for the Grand Prix.
Of course, we've heard Jackie in recent weeks talking rather openly in that vein.
Of course, Jackie's not one for hesitating to blow his own trumpet. He's a delightfully immodest man, but I think, you know, he genuinely feels that, and he certainly has the talent, the natural talent, you know, the born driving ability. I say, you know, it's a good thing, because since Jimmy Clark was killed so tragically, there hasn't really been any benchmark. There's been nobody to sort of look up to, nobody to measure everybody else by. And I think, Stewart may now well have developed into that man.
Thank you very much, Noel Scully. Jackie Stewart, wire-to-wire winner today in the U.S. Grand Prix at Watkins Glen, worth some $20,000.
Stop and go, traffic. Stop and go, traffic. No place for a dead engine. Life from Wynn's Charge. Wynn's Charge. A smooth, honey-thick liquid added to your oil. Protects moving parts to keep you moving. Charge. Stops oil burning. For greater economy. Charge. Increases compression. For total power. Charge. Reduces friction. For better mileage. Charge. Cuts wear. For fewer repairs. Wynn's Charge. Keeps your car going strong. Smooths out stop and go traffic.
The USAC stock car race set for today at New Bremen, Ohio, rained out, rescheduled October 20. Final Trans Am race of the season today at Kent, Washington. Sun shining on Pacific Raceways. Here's Ted Bell with the latest from the Kent 300.
Well, Keith, the very latest information is this. We're at the tag end of the race coming down to the wire right now, and if everything goes according to Hoyle and the machinery keeps running, we'll have Martin Donahue, the defending champion out of Media, Pennsylvania, the winner, with Craig Fisher from Toronto, Ontario, and the Firebird in second place. The two men have been dueling all afternoon, with the advantage mostly going to the Camaro of Donahue. In third place is Ron Bucknam from La Ganada, California, with a Mustang, and John Hall, North Vancouver, B.C., is running in fourth place with another Mustang right now. A couple of the favorites went out early in the race when Horst Queck and George Fulmer tangled in the backstretch, sending Queck over the bank. That's the way it looks here at the tag end of the Transamerica Sedan Championship at Kent Pacific Raceways.
And that's it for the sporty cars for 1968. And that wraps it for this edition of Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's Famous Friction Proofing, Wynn's Charge, and the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. Ask for them by name wherever you get gas or service. This is Keith Jackson in Los Angeles, reporting for Monitor Sports.
World of Wheels is heard every Saturday and Sunday evening on Monitor. The following word on behalf of United Community Campaigns. The armed forces are in the news every day. Not often in the news, but always with our GIs, or Red Cross and USO. USO serves our servicemen and women with traveling shows and GI clubs where they can relax and feel partway home again. Red Cross helps servicemen and women and their families with many problems, including emergency leave home for GIs when they need it badly. Red Cross and USO are in many United Way campaigns. Your one gift works many wonders. Give your fair share. And the Century 21 Orchestra playing For Rosemary. And you, of course. The best way to keep pace with the world is just to stay tuned. NBC Monitor News on the Hour is next, and all global and national developments will be covered. This is Brad Crandall.
The more we hear, the more we learn, to keep well informed is of major concern. So listen.
An important announcement for all the mothers and fathers, aunts, uncles, and grandparents who know all about young people and love them. The Easter Seal Home Service needs you. All over New York City, there are handicapped children and teenagers who welcome weekly visits from Home Service volunteers. If you have time and love to share, please call 777-1120.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. You're the kind of reminder we need. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. And we know you will know.
kind of great group, huh? Make up your own mind whether or not Charlie Brown's a good man. Join me every weekday afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m. on WNBC, Radio 66, New York. Charlie Brown will be here. You be here.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.